Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Denise Moore.
Praise God. Today, I shouldn't be here today. I should be taking my turn at leading J24/7. And because of that, I've actually prepared the lesson for them upstairs today. And I'm not going to give too much away, but I was cooking fish fingers at 7:30 this morning. But the children and Juliet have been doing a theme over the last few weeks now about God's promises. And so what God was telling me for the children, and I believe that he's telling it to you as well today, was about his promises about meeting your needs too. And what they will have been doing already this morning is they will have had pass the parcel. And in each layer of that pass the parcel, there was a scripture. And there's also a little gift, which I'm sure they'll show you when they come back down again. But there were some scriptures about God and how he promises to meet your needs. So I'd like to read them to you. I might be going down them quite quickly, so you might have to listen to the podcast afterwards if you haven't got pen and paper with you. Or you could always ask me and I'll give you the Bible readings. So the first one is Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife clothes of skin and clothed them. Matthew 6:31-32. Therefore, do not worry by saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? The pagans are concerned about such things. But your heavenly Father is well aware of everything you need. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Matthew 21:22, you see, whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Romans 8:32, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also graciously give us all things? 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that having plenty in all things at all times, you may do well in every good work. You see, I believe that God not only provides for our needs, but I believe that he provides in abundance. It's overflowing. Now, last week, Pastor Paul, he was talking about the Easter message, and he was talking about the events that led up to that kind of incredible change of circumstances. And he was talking about the women that were present at the tomb. And he'd said that the women had gone with the oils to take to prepare the body. And he was saying that that's because they were in the old mindset. They hadn't gone there believing that Christ had risen like we know now, but they'd gone to prepare the body. They were stuck in an old mindset. And he said, Pastor Paul said last week, that we weren't to have tomb thinking. Okay, that we needed to understand what God was saying about our situation today. And so my question to you is, what are your thoughts today? Are you having power thoughts or are you having poverty thoughts? There's one piece of scripture that I would like to work through this morning. Hannah, if you could put that on there for me, please. It's from John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. And then Jesus says, I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Okay, it's life in the full till it overflows. And that's the good news. And I know every time I preach, I have to tell you this, but I feel like it's wired in me. The good news, the gospel, the truth, the good news is that Jesus Christ died for you and me. And he took everything on the cross. He took our problems, he took our despair, he took mental illness, he took every single problem on the cross, and he died because he wanted us saved. And he rose again, and in doing that, he could show that he had defeated the enemy. And he rose again. You see, Jesus gave his life so that we can be free of this grip of the enemy, and we don't have to have an empty tomb. We don't have empty, we don't have lack. And we have to make sure that the enemy doesn't rob us of this, because he very easily can come and do what it says in that word. That's what Jesus is warning us that he can do. And so it's saying that we can have life in full till it overflows. And so what are we supposed to be full of? So I've got a couple of scriptures for you. And the first one's in Romans 15, and it's verse 13. And this is from the Truth Version. I'm reading from the Truth Version today. So I pray that this God of hope, who keeps us looking expectantly to the future, will fill you, so this is what he's filling you with, he will fill you with his joy and peace as you continue to live by faith in him. And then 1 Peter 1 verse 8, it says, you have never seen him in the flesh, yet still you love him. Even though you cannot see him physically now, you still believe in him. You are filled with a tremendous sense of glorious joy. For even now, you are in the process of receiving the objective of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we've been told twice here that we can be expected to be filled with joy. And, you know, sometimes when you're preparing a preach and you're listening to God and you're saying, well, is this really what you want me to say, Lord? And you start to have a few doubts. Well, when we were in faith camp, Amanda bought Adrian and I one of those desk calendars. You know, that you turn it over and there's either a word of scripture or there's something on there. And I want you to read the one from Wednesday, which is when I was actually preparing this. And it's actually something that Charles Spurgeon wrote. And it says, joy removes difficulties. Joy is to our service as oil is to the wheels of a railroad car. Without oil, the axle grows hot and accidents occur. If there is no holy joy to our wheels, our spirit will soon be clogged with weariness. Whoop. I'm falling over there. Okay. So I was looking at this word joy, and so I thought, well, I'll Google it and see what comes up in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And in the Greek, the word joy is actually chara. And it says about it that joy is the deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. So I'm just going to read that again. So if you Google it, this is what it says in the Greek. Chara, joy is the deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. Yeah? So joy isn't just something that you feel on the outside. It's not a happy, clappy feeling, a nice feeling. It's actually much deeper than that. It's actually a joy that you can only get from that relationship with our Lord. And we don't get filled with material things like houses and cars. It's not about being filled materially. It's about being filled emotionally and spiritually by what God has to offer for us. And I want to say that God just doesn't offer to wave a magic wand over all of our problems. He will change your life. But we do have circumstances that we have to go through in our lives. He did say that we have to hold our cross. We have to bear our cross. You see, Christ came into the world and he suffered. So I'm guessing that it goes hand in hand that we're going to suffer too. Okay? So life's not easy. Jesus didn't say life was easy. It's not easy, but it's actually much harder without Jesus. But in general, what he's promising us is joy. Joy that only he can give. But I am guessing that there are some of you here today that aren't experiencing that joy. And sometimes that's what the enemy comes in to do. He comes in order to steal and to kill and destroy. And one of the things that he will do is he will focus on the lie of lack. And I want to talk to you about the lie of lack this morning. Because the lie of lack is something that tells us that we're not good enough. It says that we don't have enough, or that we can't do enough to be seen or to be known or to be heard. The lie of lack, it tries to make us believe that we're missing out on something. It wants us to strive, it wants us to compete, it wants to struggle against ourselves, it wants us to struggle against each other, it wants you to compete with other people. It says you're not good enough in the church, they're doing a bit more than you, you should be doing this. That's what the lie of lack says. It says you're not good enough, you're not doing enough. And the lie of lack certainly does not want you to be filled till overflowing with the joy. It wants you to do more all of the time. It wants you to believe that you've got nothing to offer to the community. It says to you, oh no, you've got nothing you can offer to the church. You're not good enough for that. It wants you to believe that you're either not where you should be, or you'll never get to be where God has called you to be. And that's not true. That's a lie. So how do we overcome this lie? How do we overcome this lie of lack? So what I did is I had a look at a piece of scripture, and it's actually in Matthew 4:1-11. And it's about Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. Now each time Jesus overcame, he overcame by using the scripture. So I want to give you an example of that, but I also want to give you an example of how the Apostle Paul overcame the lie of lack as well. So the first one with Jesus was that he was in the wilderness, and the devil first of all tried to tempt him with his lack of food. He'd been without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And the tempter said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus replied, it is written and remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, here, Jesus was saying, I'm not falling for that lack of lie. My Father provides for me. His word is more important than my physical needs. And then the devil takes him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and he places him on the pinnacle. That's the highest point of the temple. And he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, so this is Satan, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to serve, care, and protect and watch over you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So can you see what the enemy's doing here? He's twisting scripture. He's actually using it for his own benefit. And we need to be really sure that we use scripture in the best context. And there's something else that he's doing here. There's something underlying that I really felt God for me to say to you today. And that is, he's putting this little idea into Jesus' head. He's saying, if you jump from here, the angels will catch you. Well, what's the underlying thing about that? What's he trying to do? He actually wants Jesus to kill himself, doesn't he? So I'm telling you now, I'm telling you here, that if you hear little voices in your head that tell you to do that kind of thing, that is not from God. Amen. He would never tell you to take your own life. We had some friends over the weekend, and they mentioned to me about someone that they love very much, who actually said to them, I don't think I should ever have been born. Well, you know, God knows when you're born. He knows every hair on your head. And he knows the day that you're going to die. He won't ask you to do it. Okay? Okay. Don't let those little things pop into your head. Get rid of them before they take root. Finally, the devil takes him up to a very high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory and the splendor. And he says, all of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. But Jesus said, go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remains written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him. And the angels came and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. You see, the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. So let's have a look now at Paul, the Apostle Paul. And if you want to look this up later, it's in Acts 16:25-26. And it's where Paul and Silas, they've been thrown into jail. They've been falsely accused. They've been beaten, but instead of focusing on their situation and their lack of freedom, their lack of justice, their lack of comfort, the Apostle Paul, he overcomes by worship. So he sings and he praises and he worships God. He wasn't comfortable. He had the lie of lack about his comfort. He wasn't comfortable, but then God really isn't interested in actually about your comfort. He's about building his kingdom. That's why we're here. That's our calling. So he prayed and those prison doors were opened. And today I want to see your prison doors open. I want to see your faith rise. I want to set you to know what he can do. Okay? Jesus and Paul used the word of God and they used worship. You do need to know that you're in Christ because he has so much to, that he promises you. But do you read your Bible? Okay? Because it's more than just reading your Bible. Joanne was singing about it this morning on the stage. You see, you need to know it and you need to cherish it. You need to love it because it's an adventure. It's a love story. Everything you need to know is in here. Yeah? If you don't know what his favour is towards you, read this book because it's in here. His love for you is in here. He knows his perfect plan for you. It's all in here. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have problems and that it's not awful and that God isn't compassionate, because absolutely that's not right, because when Jesus did rise again, he showed himself to the disciples, and at first the disciples were really scared. You know, they thought that they'd seen a ghost. They didn't know that it was Jesus. They were afraid. And when Jesus went into the upper room, he showed them his scars to show them what it was him. Okay? Well, sometimes we feel scared and scarred. Well, so did Jesus. So he knows. Doesn't mean that you won't be. He knows. And he has compassion over you. What I want to do now is just to move into a little bit of time of ministry and a little bit of time of reflection. Because the children upstairs, if you didn't guess it by the fish fingers, they're actually looking at the story of how Jesus provided for the crowd, for the 5,000, when they had a need. They were all getting very hungry. And then there was a little boy who came along and he'd got two fishes and he'd got some loaves of bread. And Jesus performed a miracle and there was more than anybody needed. The basket was in abundance. It was overflowing. Yeah? It was absolutely overflowing. So that's what they're doing today. And so I thought I would like to take you through that too. So if you're up for it, just relax. If you want to close your eyes, just close your eyes. I want you to imagine yourself in the crowd of others in Jesus' time, on the other side of Galilee. Try to think about yourself in the scene. You're in a very large crowd. There must be 5,000 of you at least. And you've been told that there's a special man who can perform miracles. Just imagine the scenery around you. I'm guessing it's really hot. What clothes are you wearing? Look at your feet. What footwear do you have on? And today, what are you believing about your provision? Because some of you in the crowd, you're battling with God's provision. God hasn't provided for me as I thought he would. He doesn't love me. He doesn't give me what I need. He hasn't acted on my behalf. And what do you hear? What do you believe about what other people are saying about you? Some of you are battling with self-esteem. I'm not good enough. I'll never amount to anything. What do you see about your role in life? What are you believing about your purpose? Some of you are battling recognition. God's forgotten me. I'm unseen. I'm unvalued. I'm not recognized as I should be. What do you believe this man can do for you? Why would he help little me? Some of you are battling with the lie of control. God hasn't acted, therefore I need to take control. I need to sort this out for myself. I need to work harder. I need to do more. So why are you here today? Is it because you're sick? You have an illness, but, well, God heals other people. I've heard about that, but I've never really seen it, and I actually don't know if he'd do that for me. Or maybe he would, if it's his will. Sometimes we get fixed on our problems or our situations, and we can't take our eyes off it. We can't get past that divorce situation, or somebody said something unkind at work, or you've got a broken friendship, and we can't get past that, and we don't think we're good enough. It's just tomb thinking. It's trapping us into a cycle of believing that we can only break through if things like, well, if our bank balance was okay, we'd be fine, or if we got a better job, we'd be absolutely okay. I won't be lonely anymore if I've got a husband or a wife. Then you see this man that they call Jesus. And he's amazing. And he reaches out to you personally like nobody has ever done before. You're in a crowd of 5,000, but it's like he's just looking at you. It's like he knows you. Even though he doesn't know you. But he does know you. You want to stay as long as you can. You're starting to get hungry. You've been waiting a long time, but it's been worth it. You hear one of his disciples mention food. There's a bit of a whisper that's going alongside you. those hunger pangs are starting to take root. And you look up and you see that this man Jesus, his disciples are going up to him and they're asking him, what can I do? What can I do? And then you see a small boy. And he's passing you and he's got bread in the basket. You can smell it. It's really good. He's got some fish. That doesn't smell quite so good, but you're hungry after all. You look up as he passes you, but wow, there's only a couple of fish and a little bit of bread. Doesn't look very much. You're really hungry. You look around and wow, 5,000 people. But then this man Jesus stands up and he says, sit down, all of you. And then he thanks God for this food. You're hoping that there's going to be enough for you. But as it comes round, there's loads. There's an absolute abundance. It's overflowing. There's more than enough. It's an absolute feast. And you have witnessed a miracle. You can see now for yourself that God not only provides for your needs, but he provides in abundance. He provides in fullness. He's able to give you more than you need, more than you can imagine, immeasurable to overflowing. And you're starting to recognize those lies, those tomb thoughts. And you're seeing now the truth. And you're believing in those words of life. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. You need never experience lack, not in the spiritual. You may experience pain and suffering in the physical, but in terms of life, Jesus said, you may enjoy, you may have joy. You've been promised a full life, a joy that comes from the awe and the wonder of what Jesus has done. You have a thankfulness of his grace. You've got power and authority in the Holy Spirit. He's given you that. And you've got fruitfulness in your work for him. Now, if you're in the crowd today and this word of God has prompted you to want to follow Jesus and you've never done that before, then I want you to come to somebody on the front row or somebody that's brought you today. Because believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and unto salvation the power of God to take you out of the darkness and bring you into the light. To live with God eternally. Just stay here and reflect as long as you want. Because you need to identify any lies that the devil has tried to plant in you. And you need to start believing the biblical truth. Be at peace today and always, because God brings peace in every circumstance. And Psalm 33 says, we're depending on God. He's everything we need. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own his holy name. Love us, God, with all you've got. So, Father God, we're depending on you. You are everything we need. Please fill our hearts to the brim with joy that only you can give. since you've given us your holiness, your holy name, you've given us Jesus. Love us, God, with all you've got, because that's, Lord, what we're depending on. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.